Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you are joining us for another hope-filled message. And our prayer is that you are encouraged by this powerful Sunday sermon.
Well, it's so good to be with you today, Central Welcome. And as Pastor Scott said, today is Mission Sunday, which I'm super excited about and so grateful and privileged to be able to share with you all this morning. If you're online or up at our Snails Beach local, then a shout out to you guys. It's great to be connecting with you too. But as he mentioned, last Sunday, of course, was Empower Sunday, where Pastor Luke shared our focus for the church all around the One. And so if you weren't here, I encourage you, make sure you go and you listen to that message because it really was significant for us as a church. And Pastor Luke, if you remember, he posed two very key questions to us. And the first one was, am I following the One? Am I following Jesus? Not just the story of Jesus, but am I following the person of Jesus? Do I know and accept his teachings? And am I actively trying to follow his ways? And then the second question he posed to us was, am I sharing the One? So am I using my life to reflect Jesus to those in and around my world? And he encouraged us to think of just one person. Maybe it will be more for some of us, but that we are committed to discipling this year. And so for us as a church, as a campus, we want to ask ourselves that question. Am I following the One? And am I sharing the One? And how do I do that? Well, there's an incredible passage of the Bible that I want to take a look at, first of all, this morning, which shows us how the early church encompassed this journey of discipleship. And it's found in Acts chapter 2. Verse 42. So let's read it together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, and everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need, and every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, I believe in this passage of scripture that is entitled The Fellowship of the Believers, there are some biblical principles, some patterns that we can follow as disciples of Jesus ourselves. And if you break that down, it says that they were devoted to teaching and fellowship. So learning, growing, doing life together with friendship. They were devoted to breaking of bread and prayer. Eating together in people's homes, laughter, talking, doing life with others. There were signs and wonders, which says to me they were faith-filled. They believed in miracles and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. So they were generous with their lives. They gave and they cared for the vulnerable. They continued to meet together in the temple courts every day. What about us? Do we continue to meet together at church every single Sunday? It's so good what they were doing. And then the result of all of those things was that the Lord added. So people were getting saved. They were evangelistic in what they were doing. And so if we ask ourselves, well, what does modern day discipleship look like? It's actually no different. Yes, the cultural context has changed, but all of these elements of doing life together, of learning, of building relationships, of community and generosity and meeting together, those things have not changed. And so today I want to have a look at some of these elements of discipleship through the lens of a man who has been on an incredible transformation journey over the last couple of years. And I know last week we heard an incredible story from a man named Arta. Our team have actually put together a whole bunch of video testimonies of people's lives who have been changed. It's called Known the Known series. And so today we're going to check out Dion's story. So why don't you turn your attention to the screens and watch this video.
Hello, my name's Dion and I'm from Whakatane. My dad left when I was 2. I think deep down it really hurt me so much that the only way to get through it was to laugh about it. My mum was a heavy drinker as well, so growing up around that, it became normal. There's a group of guys at school who I thought were cool. I hung out with them a bit. So from that, I was introduced to ecstasy. We would use so much, like our noses would start to bleed and stuff, and we'd just laugh and just be like, this is so cool, you know? I think I was about 21 and tried methamphetamine for the first time and just absolutely fell in love with it. All I cared about was using drugs. So I'd get paid Wednesday night. I was poor Thursday morning. I guess I'd been struggling with wanting help. I didn't really know where to go for help. And then my boss just reached out and was like, man, do you want help or what? He left his kids and family to bring my junky butt all the way up to Auckland. The first time I went to rehab was for my family. The second time I went to rehab, it was for me. I had been gifted the gift of desperation.
What's up, man?
Alright. It's one of those beer
hugs, man. I met Simon, who was 34 years clean and sober, and I asked him one day at a meeting, what is it? What's different about you? And he said he went to church. He reflects God in such a way that becomes so appealing to people that don't even believe in Jesus. I think with him, like, he doesn't, there's not an ounce of judgment. And it's, this is what we're going to do, not, this is what you need to do. It's like, we're in this together, no matter what it is. The first interaction I had with Jesus is that I was just hugged, loved, and accepted. Everything I had done, it was forgiven. I didn't feel any sense of, like, shame or guilt. For the first time in ages, I had felt peace. So living in rehab, living this life of a drug addict, it was always chaotic. I guess discipleship and what it looks like for me is loving on people when I guess they can't love themselves. I love to connect with guys, but I've learnt that not a lot of guys like to share their feelings and emotions. So when we distract ourselves, we're able to actually dive in a little bit deeper. I think to be truly known is to see past the mistakes, just to be loved through it all, no matter what you've done.
What a story.
Let's go.
I think you have some fans, Dion.
A couple.
What an incredible story. Thank you, Dion, for being here and for being a part of sharing who you are and what you've been through. You know, I think one of the first times I met you, Dion, was when Simon, my husband Simon, and I baptized you at Mission Bay. Well, let's be honest, Simon baptized you. I had my hand on your shoulder.
Yeah.
I'm not quite too sure who was more freaked out, me with you walking towards me or you walking towards me thinking, what's she going to do? But it was a pretty special moment. It was a significant moment for you though, wasn't it, Dion?
Yeah, totally. That was you saw where I was and it was the first step, I guess, to take to do something completely different. Didn't really know what I was getting into, but it was a life-changing moment for myself.
It's amazing. And, you know, Dion, you've obviously come from a pretty challenging background, as we've just heard, and you made a decision for Jesus through the wonderful discipleship of Simon, who you mentioned. But throughout your journey from then until now, I've watched you make a series of decisions to take just your next step. And you've gone from a new believer to a follower of Jesus. Now you are discipling and leading others. And so today I thought it would be really great for us to unpack a little bit of your discipleship journey. And so we're really excited to hear from you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about those early days after you made a decision for Jesus? How was that for you?
It was different. I definitely... I would turn up here on a Sunday and kind of everyone looked like they knew each other and everyone was dressed really nicely. And I would turn up with like a bunch of drug addicts or ex-drug addicts and would sit behind the sound desk up there and talk to maybe Alan and Dan every Sunday. But it was intimidating. It was really intimidating to turn up here. I thought everyone was really holy and like super spiritual and you guys have never done anything wrong in your life.
And then you met Lionel.
Oh, well, I love Lionel. Lionel's cool. But yeah, it was a complete transformation from what I had been used to. But what I knew is that first experience that I had with Simon and at church, and that first experience I had with God is that I wanted more. So I guess it became my new drug. You know, as a druggie, you just keep wanting more. So when I realized that that God-shaped void that I was trying to fill with drugs and alcohol and things of the world, I just wanted more of it. So, yeah.
That's awesome. And so you made a decision pretty early on in your journey to go to our Life Leadership College, yeah. Which is a big decision, amazing. Can you tell us how you came to make that decision and then what impact that has had on your life? 2 years at college, it's pretty special.
Yeah, yep. Like I said, like I didn't really have much value in myself. I was an ex-druggie, you know, that was my label. That's what I held on to. So stepping out and coming into college, I was like, what do I have to offer these spiritual holy people? Some of these people had been in church their whole life, you know. What do I have to offer to that? So, I just knew I needed more. I knew I needed foundation in God and not of the world anymore. So I turned up. I think it was Pastor Ollie talked about it in an MC moment, and he said it was the best thing he's ever done. And again, in my eyes, he looked perfect. So like, if it's the best thing he's done, I'm going to try and do it, you know? So I just jumped in. I just said yes, filled out the enrollment form, met some amazing people in college. And through that, I guess, learned a lot about myself and a lot about leadership. And yeah, it was just an awesome starting point for myself to let go of what was and to pick up what this new world or this new life had for me.
So there's a couple of things that you got quite involved with at college. You were serving in the Alpha team, Alpha being our course where you're exploring questions about faith. And then you served at Freedom. So you're part of that, which is another great course that we do that's all around finding freedom from, you know, life-controlling issues or behaviours or thinking, and every single one of us need that. Tell me about how that, you were there to help with the courses, but it actually changed you. Yeah. It was massive for you.
Yeah, totally. I thought I was just there to set up tables and put chairs out and stuff like that. And yes, that's a part of it, and we, you know, we all need to chip in with that. But I start with Alpha because it's the first one I did in my first year. It brought me alongside people who had been walking with God for many of years, and I was able to just soak up so much information from them. And then also there were other people who would come who had just turned up. So then I was able to lead people as well. And Pastor Graham was able to entrust me with like running the night sometimes and running a table and looking after people. So that he had confidence in me where I may have not had the most confidence in myself. So he really like helped me transform from where I was to where I had where I am today. And then Freedom was something else. There's so much stuff that you deal with in rehab, and there's a lot of counseling and stuff. And I thought I had dealt with a whole lot, but every time we did Freedom, there was something more that God wanted to make me let go of, and something more that he wanted me to pick up of him. So there was a lot. Pastor Lionel's, me and Pastor Lionel did it about 6 times together, and each time there was something new. So it was phenomenal. Plus, Alpha, you get free food. Pastor Aaron just talked about how we break bread together. You know, it's special. So,
Graham, I hope you're ready for a big influx of people coming to Alpha tomorrow night. Everyone wants a free dinner. But we do have Alpha and Freedom, the new intake, starting tomorrow night at our night college, which is on Monday nights. And alongside that, we obviously have a bunch of other courses and business and parenting and marriage. And just, you know, in terms of being under the teaching and having fellowship, which was talked about in that scripture, this is where that's at, and it's a pretty powerful thing to do. You don't have to be an ex-drug addict to participate in a course.
It's for all of us.
But hey, Dion, in the video, you talked about how you enjoyed catching up with the guys and the importance of sort of doing life with people. I know that's a big thing for you, having people in your world. You're a big fan of groups. You've many people will recognise you from the car park team, actually. Who's seen Dion out in the car park before? Friendly
Probably
smile,
see this.
Wave.
Limited parking.
You only get waves and smiles from people, don't you?
Yeah, totally.
But talk to us about how, you know, doing life in community with people in those forums have been important on your journey.
Yeah, I think when I was thinking of this question, it reminded me of like going to someone's house or like a house party or something. And when you go there and you've been invited by one person, you don't really know anyone, and when you walk in, it's kind of a little bit intimidating. There's a lot going on. You don't even want to go to the table and get free food, you know? But it's not till you sit down and actually speak to some people, then you start to feel comfortable and you start to feel welcome and accepted, and then you go and eat all the food. But
there's a common theme here.
Food. But that's what I can see church has been, you know, we can come in, we can go without actually sticking around or talking to anyone, but it's not till we get to know people that it becomes a little bit more comfortable and we get to touch base with people. So groups has been that for me. Like people invite you into their house, you get to share a meal with them. You get to open the word and you get to share with each other what that means to you. It's such an intimate relationship that you get to build with these people. For myself, I think one uncle is still married. Everyone else is, you know, broken, divorced. And for myself to be newlywed, I needed someone solid to role model that to me. And we got the privilege of having Pastor Jill and Robin being our mentors. And they, you know, whenever something comes up, they have access. We have access to them. They have access to us to be able to speak about it. I don't have that in my family, but I do have it here, you know. So groups has opened that for me. Teams has been phenomenal. You know, like I love hanging out with dudes. I love hanging out in the car park. It's been something else. It's great.
There's actually a guy in the video that we showed, called Nigel Noma. Many of you will know Nigel from the car park as well. He's a good friend of yours and a good friend of ours. And some of you will know his story, but it was September last year where he very suddenly and unexpectedly had a very serious brain bleed. And he ended up in hospital for almost 4 months. And multiple surgeries and some complications along the journey that were really tough to walk through. But, I mean, the good news is he is home and he's doing really well. Praise God for that. He's well on the recovery journey, which is such a miracle. I think we've got a photo of them there, the family. Amazing. But I watched and was able to be a part of this beautiful community of people who surrounded them, the whole family, during this absolutely terrible, difficult time for them. And it was phenomenal to see that all of the practical needs got met very quickly. So we had a meal roster that went for about 4 months. We had people walking their dog. I think Sharon, she's here. She walked the dog just about every day. People picking up and dropping off the kids or doing hospital visits and things like that. And so all of these practical things from the community that is around them happened. And not just the practical, but Michelle said that she just felt completely carried by prayer. And the moments where she felt really down and low and like there was little hope, it was then where she could flick out a message, the prayer team were on it, people supporting, and she felt lifted. And you know, that's what community and group and team is all about. It's about having people in your world who can be there for you when crisis happens. And I know for them it definitely, that community didn't just appear. You know, Nigel, he leads the car park team, he hosts a men's group, He's in a business group, and Michelle's in groups, and she's done more meal rosters for other people than what I could even count. And then it was amazing to see when their time of need came, this community just get around them. So it's so important, isn't it, just to have those people that you can do life with. Because you never know when it's going to happen to you, when you're going to be in crisis. But if you're not, it's always just a privilege to be that person who can then give and help people when they are in need, right? It's so good. And I think, you know, for some of us, it's easy to find excuses as to why we can't get involved with these things. You know, a big one is I don't have enough time. Sometimes we can feel like we won't fit in or we're not qualified. Or another thing that I hear sometimes is that people don't feel like they're needed or wanted. We currently have 329 gaps in teams here in Central on a Sunday. You can walk in here sometimes and think, this is all together. We're a well-oiled machine. But there is a lot of room for you. And I'm believing for those gaps to be filled. But also, we would love, you know, another 100 leaders, people who, you know, have been doing this journey for a little while, who'd be willing and able to help disciple others on their journey. For you, Dion, like, were there any excuses or barriers or maybe fears for getting more involved that you experienced, and how did you overcome that?
Yeah, I think whenever there's something new, there's always a fear or an insecurity. Mine that I always go back to is that I'm not good enough, but it's such a lie. Like, it's so trash, such a dumb thing to think, but it's where I always end up. There's three things that I do, and one of them's pretty corny, but I like it, is I'll just sing myself a little song, and I'll just say, Jesus, I need you every moment, I need you. It's so true.
So good.
Oh, definitely wasn't expecting a clap for my singing, but...
We still want you to stay on the car park team.
Am I in, Jeremy? But a simple little song, simple little lyric, but it's so powerful. So powerful. It doesn't matter what we're doing, we need Jesus. There's a second thing, 1 Peter 5:7, cast your anxiety onto the Lord, for he cares for you. Man, there's sometimes when I do things here at church that I'm leading people who have been Christians for years, are pastors, you know, and I feel really inadequate, but I just cast it onto the Lord, and I'm just like, they've entrusted me with this, and it's going to be okay, you know? And then the other thing is, serving's not actually about me, you know? It's about everyone else who's coming in. That's why I'm so friendly on the front gate, you know? That's why I'm waving and saying hello to everyone. Everyone deserves to get an hello on the way in. Like, you know? Everyone needs to be welcomed, so I'm quite passionate about that. So if I think about it, if I take myself out of the situation, all those insecurities and stuff just disappear. It's not about me, it's about you guys. So, yeah.
How good. No, and you get so much out of it too when you're giving out to others. I mean, Proverbs 11:25 says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Mm. And it's so true. Sometimes you think, if I give out, I'm going to be depleted, but God has a way of just refreshing us and giving us what we need for that. I know, Dion, one of your other passions is the community. And your wife, beautiful wife, Jada, has worked with our Life Community Kitchens for some time now. She's an absolute legend. And we actually have Help and Hope Week coming up from the 2nd to the 9th of March. And if you haven't heard about that, we've done that last year. We're doing it again this year. But it is a week where we as a church, as a campus, right across Life, are believing for 500 volunteers to get out into the community to do a bunch of different projects, giving up just a few hours of your time to serve those who are in need of that. And so we've got a bunch of things happening here at Central. You can go to a Life Community Kitchen. We are going to do a cook-off here in Central to provide meals. Dion was going to be there.
I'm there.
He's going to be the taste tester. He's putting his hand up for that. And we've got bingo and rest homes. I know the YA crew are all about that. and garden makeovers, a bunch of other things. But Dion, you've been on both the receiving and the giving end of Help and Hope. Can you tell us what motivates you to serve others outside of just here at church?
Yeah, totally. I think if it wasn't for the generosity of Simon, I wouldn't be here. So that kind of motivates me. He went out of his way to help me just by being himself, you know, so why wouldn't I put myself in a position to help someone else? I remember the first time I went to a kitchen, I think it was the GI kitchen. Any GI kitchen? Let's go. Hi, hey, Tim. Yeah, that was the first one I ever went to. And, you know, I thought I was just going to take a van load of food to this kitchen and, you know, hang out and then leave. But when I showed up, it really hit home how many people actually struggle. You know, like there were so many people there and I could relate to them in a position of being down and out. And the way the world looks at them is that they're just trash, you know. And we got to provide, you know, an hour and a half of something completely different, a hope-filled environment where people got fed. Some of these kids, this would be their one hot meal for the week, you know. No one should live like that. So it was so impactful. It was so different to anything I had experienced. And, yeah, I think from that first day, I kind of got a passion to be like, this is not okay. What we're doing is phenomenal, but what I'm seeing is not okay, you know. And, yeah, I guess we all need a Simon. Yeah. You know, we all need that Simon that reached out and grabbed me and dragged me to church or brought me to church, I should say. We all need to, you know, we all have a part to play with that. There's someone in our life that we can pull out of that pit of wherever they're at and bring them along. And, you know, it doesn't have to be here at church, but it has, you know, somewhere, a faith-filled environment, a bit of hope, you know. There's people that even serve in these kitchens who aren't, they don't come to church. But what we're doing is so amazing that they're a part of it. So, yeah.
So good. And I think when you truly understand or get that revelation of how much Jesus loves us and what he has done for us, it's out of that overflow that you love his people and you want to serve them. You want to be able to help and make a difference. Dion, I know that you were raised by a single mum, so was I. Things weren't always easy, and I know the help that we received at times, even from the church, we weren't going to a church at the time, but from time to time we'd get meal boxes on our front doorstep. We got a similar to a Christmas box one Christmas that I'll never forget. But it really does make a difference when you're in that vulnerable state and there's a church that says, I can help. In fact, I want to read this testimony from a single mum, someone who doesn't come to life, who last Help and Hope, one of our amazing groups, Josh and Yol's lead out in our east area, they did a garden makeover for her. And she wrote us this letter. I think we've got some photos as well to show you. But she says, to dearest Life Central and Life East, I would like to express my gratitude towards each one who came and sacrificed their time and energy today, as well as thanks to the church to release the team and funds that made my dreams come true. I'm a solo mum with my 8-year-old son. We came out of domestic violence. It's been hard. I've always struggled. I'm very stressed with gardening and maintaining it. The extreme makeover from the team today means more than the world to us. I couldn't thank you enough. Also, the groceries of fresh fruit and vegetables and meat helped me so much this week. You've really touched my heart. You've got my tears. It's life-changing with your selfless contributions. I wish I could pay you back someday. Thank you so much to everyone. Love from Olivia and Enoch. So beautiful to see the church doing what it's called to do and within a group. A few hours of people's time bringing help and hope. And there are so many stories like Olivia and Enoch's, and there are so many more stories that are waiting to be told with our contribution and what we can do. Dion, your story has been really encouraging, and I just want to thank you for sharing, for being vulnerable, and You've inspired us. Isn't he amazing? You know, for all of us, you've probably heard the Great Commission, which is found in Matthew 28, verse 19. And this is what Jesus said to his disciples after he had died, he had resurrected, and he appeared to them. And he takes a moment to talk to his disciples and to let them know what he wants them to do. And it says this, he says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of age." You see, we are all called to be disciples of Jesus, to follow the one, and to go and make disciples, to share the one with others. And this is a command that Jesus is giving us. It's not just, this is a nice thing to do. No, he's saying, this is what I have called you to do as followers of me. And, you know, as inspiring as it was to hear Dion's story, which is just absolutely incredible, every single one of us has a story. And your story may not look like Dion's. Maybe there are things that you can relate to in his story, but maybe you've grown up in a Christian home all your life and things have been pretty, there's been, you know, pretty smooth sailing for you, or maybe somewhere in between. But regardless of what your journey has looked like, we are all called to be a part of being and making disciples. And within that, every single one of us has a next step. And it can be easy after being a Christian for a little while. For some of us, you can get quite comfortable and think, oh no, I've already done those things, or, you know, that's not for me now. But I want to encourage us all, and we're going to take a moment shortly to think about, what is my personal next step on my faith journey? Whether you're a business person or a stay-at-home parent, maybe you're a uni student, or you're going into your retired years, God's got something fresh for you. God's got something new for you. And we need every single one of us to play our part so that we can see God do what he wants to do in and through our church and in our campus. And the most important thing for us is that we are obedient, that we're listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and we're asking him, what's next for me?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I trust you're encouraged by this incredibly powerful word. You know, you've always got a place to call home here at Life, and I want to encourage you to join us in one of our campuses in Auckland or Tauranga, or why don't you join us at Church Online? To find out more about Life and to stay connected with us, why don't you visit lifenz.org.